Welcome to Yale Cancer Center Answers with Drs. Francine Foss and Lynn Wilson. Dr. Foss is a professor of medical oncology and dermatology specializing in the treatment of lymphomas. Dr. Wilson is a professor of therapeutic radiology and an expert in the use of radiation to treat lung cancers and cutaneous lymphomas. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can contact the doctors directly. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu and the phone number is 1-888-234-4YCC. This week, Dr. Francine Foss is joined by Dr. Ann Chang. Dr. Chang is Assistant Professor of Medical Oncology and Chief Medical Officer for the Smilow Cancer Hospital Network. Here's Francine Foss.
Could we start off by just having you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you came from, how long you've been here at the Smilow Cancer Center, and what your major areas of interest are?
Sure. I've been here since October of 2011. And I originally started out as a scientist, so I got my PhD in fruit fly molecular biology. And then I decided to go into medicine, and I trained in New York. And I did my fellowship at Sloan Kettering, and I got very interested in cancer. I actually did a lot of bench research and translational research in the area of lung cancer and metastases. So at that time, I trained in lung, and I stayed on, and I did some work in the gynecological malignancies, and then decided that I had always wanted to really practice general oncology. So then I took a turn and went into private practice, a community practice, for 3 years, and really saw all sorts of cancers, liquid tumors, solid tumors, and I had a lot of fun in northwestern Connecticut, which is where our practice was. And at that time, I met Tom Lynch, and Yale was really thinking about expanding into the communities and extending the clinical footprint for Smilow Cancer Hospital across the state of Connecticut. And he asked me if I was interested in helping with that, and I said absolutely. So that's sort of where I ended up, or why I ended up here.
So you've had a lot of experience in different settings, and can you talk a little bit about contrasting your experience in the private practice setting to what you're now doing at Yale?
Oh, absolutely. What has happened recently, very exciting developments, is that as of January 2012, Smilow Cancer Hospital acquired medical oncology and hematology, which is one of the largest private practice oncology practices in the state of Connecticut. And basically, 18 doctors joined the Yale faculty, and 120 of their employees joined Yale New Haven Hospital staff. And so this practice practices in 6 different locations and basically offers patients the ability to access all the advantages of being affiliate or being part of an academic hospital like Smilow, and the research that Yale has to offer, and at the same time offering patients that local care, which is something that I experienced as a community oncologist for the past 3 years. So that's something for folks who don't live in New Haven or even, you know, do live in New Haven, but prefer to go to a smaller setting than a larger academic hospital. They're able to continue to do that and yet have many of the privileges or access to research and different expertise that Smilow has to offer, too.
So you had the unique perspective of being one of those community practice doctors before you came here. Can you talk with us about what the advantages for those doctors out in the community to have this alliance with the Smilow Cancer Center?
Sure. I think that for practitioners in the community, you are forced to be a generalist because you see everybody. You see everybody's family. You see everybody's family members. And so to be able to have access to, for example, services or experts in, for example, lymphoma, your T-cell lymphoma, that's your field, but be able to consult those experts and still be able to care for the patient in the local setting, I think that really provides an advantage for the patients.
Can you talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of this collaboration? How are those doctors actually tied into what's going on at the Cancer Center?
Right. So those doctors are actually Yale faculty. That's a bit of a different model than in other places in the country where they're affiliated. And that means that we really consider them a direct part of the family here at Yale. To that extent that they are Yale faculty, they have access to all the tumor boards, all the services here at the main campus at Yale. And we are trying to, obviously that means that we need to be able to facilitate those tumor boards or those interactions. Those are things that we're working out right now, those relationships. Another big part of it is research, access to research. At some of the sites, we have been very active in community research already, but what we are trying to do is be able to tie them again to the main campus so that anything that is offered here, eventually patients would be able to access that locally and not necessarily have to travel to and forth.
So for a patient, for instance, you mentioned tumor boards, which are really important. A patient could be seen, say, in one of the satellite offices, and their case could actually get reviewed in the main tumor board at Yale. Could you just talk about the advantages of that for a patient?
Sure. So I'll just use an example in point. One of our docs out in Derby had a patient with a liver tumor, and it was a relatively rare tumor, and he was able to present that patient and their films and review the pathology with the liver tumor board here at the main campus. He was able to attend by phone, audio conference in, and as well as look at all of the films and the slides that were being projected on the screen, and he was able to participate in full with the discussion with his experience of describing where the patient came from, what the situation was, and be able to talk to all the liver experts in the room, the surgeons, the pathologists, etc., and come up with a plan for that patient.
And also from the patient's point of view, obviously they didn't need to necessarily travel to the Smilow Cancer Center to get that opinion.
That's correct. In that particular case, there was no traveling involved. And I think that that's one of the real advantages of having this community and academic hybrid system is that we will be able to expand services in the local settings.
Are those tumor boards being conducted for all the different disease indications at this point?
As you know, Smilow has tumor boards in all of the different diseases, breast, lung, GI, lymphoma, et cetera. We are in the process of getting that set up so that folks in the community can access those easily. It's not yet set up completely. I did have that example of the liver patient, but that's something that we are shooting for, absolutely.
So, Anne, as this project is just getting underway now, could you review some of the major issues that you're currently dealing with?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that when you're talking about six different sites in this particular case for the former MOH practice, each site had their paper records and their individual ways of doing things. And so what has happened since the go-live is that all of these sites, we've had to sort of standardize across all sites the forms, for example, that need to be Yale forms, as well as have all the sites comply with a lot of the regulations as they're now provider-based clinics. So they, for example, we've placed pharmacists in pharmacist services throughout those locations. So it's been a lot of work, and I think there's been a lot of change there. But overall, the transition has gone extremely well, and the patients have been relatively happy with the transition.
What are the various committees that you've set up to help you to facilitate this process?
There's a physician advisory council that it consists of the physicians who serve as sort of an advisory body. I think there have been one of the things that we are One aspect of care that we are very interested in is providing that clinical research opportunity. So there are folks who are specifically interested in clinical research. Finally, clinical practice or quality is a real interest of mine. You know, if you are delivering care in 6 or 7 or 8 or eventually more sites, then how do we know that the cancer care being delivered in one site is the same as the other, and that quality cancer care is being delivered across all sites? This kind of mirrors a national conversation, which is how do you measure quality of care in ambulatory cancer care? And I think it's a very exciting thing. We are actually starting to measure that using a program through ASCO called COPI, or Quality Oncology Practice Initiative, which is basically a set of quality measures that have been agreed on and involves looking at charts from each different site to look at those measures.
Just for the patients who are listening to this, could you talk about, like, specifically what some of those outcomes are that you think are important as you look across these different practices?
Sure. I think that it's hard to, for different patients with different cancers, obviously the cancer that you have is going to affect you and your outcome. So a lung cancer patient may do better or worse than a breast cancer patient. The things that we're interested in are often process. So as you're seen, if you're a new patient, you know, is your pathology in the chart by a certain time? Has your staging been completed? Has your pain been assessed by the second visit? Sort of very basic process measures that people have agreed upon it that are important in delivering cancer care. Those are the things that we're looking at.
I know that at the Smilow Cancer Hospital, patients will oftentimes get a questionnaire in the mail after their visit just to assess, you know, how they thought that the visit went and what their care was like. And I'm wondering if you're going to implement that across the practices as well to get the patient input as far as how this is going.
Oh, absolutely. So there are several ways of measuring patient satisfaction and getting patient input. One of them is through Press Ganey, which is a national survey, and that is being initiated in I believe May, when we're starting to collect those. The other way of getting patient information, which I think is really interesting, is through potentially collecting outcomes. Patient-reported outcomes through a patient portal. So in about a year, we should be going live with our electronic medical record, an integrated one across all systems, which is called Epic. Part of Epic has a patient portal, which is a way that a patient can interact with their own record called MyChart. And I think that it'll be really interesting if patients are able to talk to their providers through email to schedule appointments and to tell them how they do, for example, after chemotherapy.
That sounds really exciting, Ann, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about that after the break. We have to break now for a short medical minute. Please stay tuned to learn more information about the Smilow Cancer Hospital Community Cancer Network with Dr. Ann Chang.
There are over 12 million cancer survivors in the United States right now, and the numbers keep growing. Completing treatment for cancer is a very exciting milestone, but cancer and its treatment can be a life-changing experience. The return to normal activities and relationships may be difficult, and cancer survivors face other long-term side effects of cancer, including heart problems, osteoporosis, fertility issues, and an increased risk of second cancers. Resources for cancer survivors are available at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers, such as the one at Yale Cancer Center, to keep cancer survivors well and focused on healthy living. This has been a Medical Minute, brought to you as a public service by Yale Cancer Center. More information available at yalecancercenter.org. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.
This is Dr. Francine Foss, and I'm joined today by my guest, Dr. Ann Chang, and we're here discussing the Smilow Cancer Hospital Community Cancer Network. So prior to the break, Ann, you were getting into this new computer system that's going to have a patient portal. So basically you were saying that a patient can actually get into that and get feedback from their doctors and find out about their appointments. Could you just elaborate a little bit more on what that's going to look like from the patient's point of view?
Sure. I think it will be something that patients will really like. It will be an opportunity to be able to look at when your scheduled appointments are, to be able to get some of your lab results directly sent to you, and be able to access your provider. And for example, if you're on chemotherapy, there may be the opportunity to tell your provider via email or a different via email how you're feeling several days after chemotherapy when you're not in the office and you might not normally give them that input.
So are there other cancer networks around the country that have a similar type of a system?
Yes. Epic is one of the most common electronic medical records or integrated health systems used. It's one that we have put a great deal of investment into. Currently, the Yale Medical Group and many of the digestive diseases, neurology, I think those were the ones that most recently went live in February, are on the same medical system. So what it will allow us is to be able to access all your providers across the system, whether it be your primary medical doctor or your oncologist or your cardiologist. They will be able to actually look at each other's reports and know what's going on with you. In the past, you were always playing faxing and telephone tag with different offices to make sure you were up to date with what happened with the patient. In this case, you'll be able to log into the computer and see what the most recent visit with a cardiologist showed, rather than trying to chase those results down.
So, Anne, some patients feel that too much information is too much to handle. Other patients want more information. So how do you approach a patient in the office when you're presenting this to them? And is this something that's going to be good for everybody?
Oh, I think that some patients will love it and other patients who will never even use it. And that's their prerogative. I think it's really a tool to use if patients wish to, but there's absolutely nobody saying that you have to do this.
So, Anne, in our earlier discussions, one of the key points with this network was to bring clinical trials into the community setting. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what you've been doing in that regard and what you project the future is going to look like.
Sure. I should add that the Cancer Network, as it stands, includes both those care centers, which are the MOH, the former community practice MOH, as well as Greenwich Hospital and the cancer center there. We recently had a research summit in which we had about 50 people here on the main campus, including around 20-25 of our care centers and Greenwich faculty, intermingling with about the same number of disease team leaders, yourself included. And we had sort of a speed dating format where we had different people go from table to table to hear about the trials, the most recent trials in the pipeline and developments in research going on at the main campus, as well as what was interesting to folks in the community sites, what kind of trials would be important to have out there. So I think that was a very productive conversation and definitely a start to developing a clinical research network.
I would agree with you, Anne, participating in that. The one thing that I got out of that was really hearing from the community physicians what's important to them in the practices that they have. And some of the things that we may do, say, at the tertiary care center may or may not be helpful to what they're doing in the community. But also it was really interesting to hear how interested they were in trying to get involved with some of these new drugs, some of these cutting-edge clinical trials where we can offer patients drugs that aren't commercially available, and this would be a great way to do that.
Right, absolutely. I mean, the fact of the matter is by establishing this network, we've already increased our number of patients really significantly, and so any kinds of new cutting edge treatments that we'd like to be able to provide now have an expanded clinical population in which that have access to that.
And we've talked primarily about medical oncology, but I'm wondering if in radiation oncology and surgical oncology, the same kind of paradigm is being built with the community centers.
Actually, radiation oncology has a history of working in a network and providing a lot of services along the shoreline, in Guilford, along in various different communities. So they've actually been at this a little bit longer than medical oncology and have been doing quite well. In terms of surgical oncology, that's basically the same story. I mean, there are gynecologic oncologists here who go to four or five different hospitals in the state of Connecticut. And I think that what we would like to do, ideally, is be able to really provide a service line or a multidisciplinary effort that will allow people, again, to stay where they are, to have quality of care locally, but without but with access to expertise and the latest therapies.
So, Anne, do you see that there might be some specific kinds of treatment or some specific protocols, for instance, that might be done, say, at the Smilow Cancer Hospital that wouldn't be done in the community setting?
Yes. I mean, there are earlier stage trials that are very complicated protocols that require lots of blood draws or perhaps biopsies. Those are more appropriate for the main campus. There are also other trials where typically you may not have enough patients in the community because they're so rare. T-cell lymphomas may be an example, or certain melanomas, for example, which have traditionally and probably will remain referred into the main campus for their care.
I think that touches on another point I wanted to ask you about, which is that you obviously have a background in translational research, having come from the research lab originally. Can you talk about how translational research is going to be integrated in the network and also in the clinical trials at Smilow moving forward?
I think that translational research, which is basically applied research, is going to be very important in all of clinical research nationally. I mean, it truly is right now. And the idea is that as we learn more about the actual tissue, the genetics and the molecular alterations in tumor tissue, that we may be able, that the bottom line is that we're learning that cancer is very heterogeneous and that we would like to move towards a personalized medicine where, depending on the kind of tumor that you have, and perhaps this is the presence of a certain mutation, you might be eligible for receiving a certain treatment really targeted to that tumor that perhaps has less side effects than you know, the traditional chemotherapy. And that, I know that, you know, one of the things that we are working on the main campus is developing this kind of a phase one personalized medicine clinic. That's Dr. Herbst is working on that very, very strongly. And that's something where you need to have tissue and you need to have clinical information, basically translational research.
And within this network, will patients' tissues be analyzed, say, if they present to one of the satellite facilities with lung cancer, for instance? Will they have the opportunity to have those tissues analyzed within our institution to see whether they're eligible for some of these new targeted therapies?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as at the research summit, one of our molecular pathologists was there and talking to folks about the opportunities to do this kind of genetic testing on tumor tissue that we could certainly do at the main campus and to some extent can be done commercially, but certainly that would help to guide targeted therapy or personalized medicine.
So the concept is that cutting-edge cancer care is occurring throughout the entire system.
Yeah, I like that, definitely.
Yeah. So Anne, in terms of your other hats, you certainly wear many other hats. You do practice oncology within our center. Can you talk about your membership in the thoracic oncology group and what your role is there?
Right. I recently joined the Thoracic Oncology Group. It's a great group to practice in. We see a lot of patients with obviously lung malignancies. There are a number of different protocols. Again, a lot of these targeted therapies that we're trying to utilize that often have less toxicities than the regular therapies. Just getting started there, I have had experience treating lung malignancies in the past, and as I said, have done a fair number, have done research on lung metastases. Would love to get involved with that here as well, although, as you said, I don't have a lot of time, so we'll see what happens with that.
And in terms of the thoracic malignancy program, that is a multidisciplinary clinic.
Yes. The top program has pulmonologists, thoracic surgeons, medical oncologists, includes pathologists. We recently had a thoracic oncology program retreat, and I think there were probably about 100 people there on a Saturday, and really talked about the developments and achievements over the past 5 years, which have been considerable.
And you've also had a background in gynecologic oncology. Are you practicing that at all at the Smilow Cancer Center?
No, actually, I'm not focusing on gynecologic malignancies now, although I do like those patient population. Right now, I'm focusing on the thoracic patients.
Are there any new developments that you're really excited about? It sounds like you're involved in a number of different areas in terms of research, and are there any things that are particularly exciting for you right now?
Well, I think our efforts at looking at quality are really exciting. I think that this is an area that's, again, with all of this publicity around healthcare reform, and Obama's, the legislature looking at healthcare legislation, I think that it's really important for us to work in a very proactive fashion as physicians, to look and see what kind of care we're delivering, and make sure that it's really quality care, and that we are being very careful about that, and not having that mandated by other folks, but for us to work in a proactive fashion on that.
Dr. Ann Chang is Assistant Professor of Medical Oncology and Chief Medical Officer for the Smilow Cancer Hospital Network. If you have questions or would like to add your comments, visit yalecancercenter.org, where you can also get the podcast and find written transcripts of past programs. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.